Karen Jacobs, thank you very much for joining with our listener and me and giving us your perspective and knowledge about the history of the village of Thanesville. Let me ask you to introduce yourself, if you would, please, ma'am.
I'm Karen Jacobs. I've lived here in Florida since I was 3 years old and grew up in Seminole County and attended Vita High School when it was first through 12th grade. Graduated in 65 with 33 people in my class, and I can tell you where everyone is today.
Clearly you lived in the city of Oviedo?
Actually, I grew up in Goldenrod, and we were just inside the line to attend Oviedo. And so that's where I went from eighth grade up through being a senior.
Give me a little bit about who Karen Jacobs is.
I am a historian.
When you say you are a historian, what does that mean to the uninitiated when they hear, I'm a historian?
Well, a lot of people think that a person that works in the historical field has a lot of degrees and that. No, I don't have a degree. I've just been here long enough. I know the area. I love to do research. I worked at a museum for 11 years. You have to love what you do. But as I have gotten older, and what really got me into it is that I started to do family research, family genealogy, and then that extended out to, well, if you do genealogy, you almost have to be involved with the history of the area when you're doing research, whether you're doing it in the United States or outside of the United States. And therefore, you become knowledgeable on how to find things and how to do the research and where to go for the research. And then when somebody asks you, you go, oh, wow, I know that. Okay, I can give you that. And so I guess that's what it's a love. It's a passion of mine. And I'm very happy that the old-timers have spent the time to enlighten us.
Is it correct for me to say that your passion for history is more avocational than professional? Though you did say you spent some time as an executive director of a museum.
I would say it's a little of both.
A little of both. Right?
Yes.
Do you have civic chevrons of your activities in historical organizations?
Yes, I have been past president of Oviedo Historical Society probably 4 or 5 times, I can't remember, over the years. I've also been vice president of the Seminole County Historical Society and president. I have been vice president in charge of programs for the Central Florida Quilters Guild. I have been the History Consortium coordinator for 7 counties while I was at the museum.
Will you geographically tell us where Thanesville is so that a listener could get in that listener's mind, I get it, she's just painted the map for me as to where Thanesville is.
Thanesville geographically is located between Oviedo and Chuliota. Tain Oviedo, Tain Chuliota. That's where it gets its name. And it's really funny how that sort of happened because I believe it was Miss Gross that said that she heard a worker talking or overheard a worker talking.
And who is Miss Gross?
She lived in between Oviedo and Chuliota at that time. And you have to remember, that was a little two-lane road. So if you're coming out from Oviedo, going east, like you're going to Chuliota on this little two-lane road, woods on either side. You've crossed over the Econ-Lockahatchee River. And to your left is going to be Willingham Road. It was a dirt road. And then as you're going, now this is a long time ago, as you're going along to the left, on the left-hand side of the road, you would have seen the Flying Seminole Ranch. This was a little glider ranch that you could have little gliders taken off. It was just a dirt grass field, and little Piper Cub planes would land there. And then there's woods, there was pasture on the right for as far as you could see, and then you came to a little group of houses. There were 3 little cracker houses. We call them cracker houses because they were built up off the ground, made of wood, and they were to just right past the Seminole Flying Ranch, and they were just grouped together. And then you went down just a little bit further, and on the right was some larger houses that sort of sat back off of the side of the road. And they were northerners that had come down and spent their winters down here. Now, I don't know a whole lot about Miss Gross, but I know that she lived over. Then if you had gone back and turned left on Willingham to go behind the airport, that was all dirt. And then eventually you would come back out on the main highway, and there were a few homes that were dotted through in that area. And then, of course, then you came to Chiliota. So that, geographically, it was mainly pines. It was flat land. There was one little orange grove that was behind the airport. But it was mainly woods, except for those just those few homes back in the, oh gosh, from the, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s when it was brought up before the county commissioners to designate that as Taintsville Village. And it was brought by Ted Peterson and Miss Gross and Alfred Best. And but we all that have lived around here for a long time, everybody would always say Taintsville, Taint Ovida, Taint Chiliota. And it was sort of a joke, you know. I mean, it started off as a joke. And then what I think happened was people are sitting around in the evening, maybe having a few cocktails or beers or something, and, hey, well, you could be the mayor of Taintsville. You know, well, let's call the airport Taintsville Airport, you know. And they would embellish on it. And then somebody got really serious about it, and they got really, really serious. There's a group of small people, you know, the group of the individuals that I just mentioned, and they actually brought it before the county commission, and they said, sure, we'll do that. And so they designated it a village on December 14th, 1971.
I understand from my research that the Peterson to which you referred was mm-hmm. also considered the mayor of Taintsville?
I think it depends on which day and who you were talking to and how much you'd had to drink.
Mr. Gross or Mr. Best or Mr. Peterson,
yeah,
depending.
Probably Mr. Peterson or Mr. Best, I would say.
Let me ask you to confirm that the area generally referred to as what I'm going to describe is the area of Taintsville, bounded on the south by State Road 419, mm-hmm. bounded on the north by Willingham Road,
right.
bounded on the east by Snow Hill, bounded on the west, again, by Willingham Road. Is that a fair representation of the approximate location of Taintsville?
Yes, I'm looking at the map. Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate.
Ms. Jacobs, can you describe, now that you've sort of told us geographically what it looked like, the terrain, the vegetation, the population system of what we now know today as Taintsville, then the village of Taintsville?
Today?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
You might have a few pines left. You might have a few woods left, but certainly it has changed immensely.
How?
Population, growth, a brand new school, houses, development. It's not the old Taintsville. It would be hard to say that Taintsville is still there.
Did Taintsville play any sort of modest to important historical role in the development of Seminole County back in the days?
Historically, it's just a period of time, a short period of time, that they wanted designated that one little spot that those people lived, and to let everybody know that they did not live in Oviedo and they did not live in Chiliota. And every day is a history day. You make history every single day. As far as a contribution to the county, of great significance, no, but personally to those people, it was extremely important.
Has the county designated any other geographic area as a village?
I can't really answer that because I wouldn't know that what's appeared before the county commissioners over the years. I do know that a lot of the cities or the little towns or the little settlements in Chiliota were established way back in the 1800s, such as Geneva was established in the 1880s. Chilioda was established probably in the 1860s, right after the Civil War. So all of these little villages or towns, Snow Hill was certainly established in the 1800s. Buda, this is another community that nobody really knows anything about. It was established between Snow Hill and Chilioda, or between Geneva and Chilioda. And it only existed up until about the teens. And when they shut the Buda school down, the kids had to either go to Geneva or to Chilioda or Oviedo. And when that happened, it just ceased to exist. You can find articles.
Buda, you're
referring to. Buda, yeah. You can find articles in the Sanford Herald about Buda, and there is a lot of them. But then all of a sudden, it was just almost like somebody took the water faucet and cut it off, and you don't see it anymore. So as far as any other villages and things that were established very late, like 1970 is very late compared to the history of Seminole County, I have no idea. I don't think so. But if I speak out of turn, somebody will certainly come along and correct me.
What do you suspect, absent the passion that the Taintsvillians had back in the days, not present today, will happen to the village of Taintsville going forward?
I strongly believe that it'll be absorbed into the city limits of Oviedo.
Will the sign go down?
I don't know.
In the context of history and historians, is it important to maintain the village of Taintsville in some manner? And what manner would that be if it is important?
Well, I think it's certainly it needs to be recognized, maybe with a historical marker, if it is absorbed into Oviedo city limits or even Chilioda city limits, however you want to do it. But yeah, I think that everything that is relative at a certain period of time should be either remembered or should be written down or should be saved in some kind of way, because I'm not going to be here forever. Other people are not going to be here forever. And if somebody really wanted to do a research, if we write this down and make it into a book form or make it into a historical marker, then there is some kind of a record all the way down.
Ms. Jacobs, do you know that there's any move afoot to create a historical marker or to preserve it in the manner in which you just described?
No, not at this time. I do know that the Seminole County Historical Commission is charged with putting up historical markers throughout Seminole County, and they have about 52 markers that have been put up over the years. And with all of the budget cuts, they cut out the marker program a year ago. And so I'm not sure. But at that up before that time, people were allowed to write a letter saying, would you consider this particular area for a historical marker? And then they have to give the reasons why. Then the historical commission would vote on it. They would do the research. It was included in their budget, and then they would put up the sign and have a signed dedication. And so that's how we got all of the historical markers. We are one of the top three in the state for putting up historical markers in a county.
If a historical marker is going to be added by a city, since Chilioda is not a city, mm-hmm. The only city close is Oviedo. So you're saying that in terms of the area of Taintsville being maintained, it could be challenged by an expansion of the city should the county agree to that expansion. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. At which point the city would have the option to more formally mark Taintsville.
Right. Yeah. Or, you know, even for the county, either one or a collaborative thing where they both could do it together. Because as you know, that when you're doing historical markers, when you are creating them, you have to have the support of the government identity, whichever one you're working for. And then when you send out invitations, you, of course, have to include all of the upper echelons, which would be your county commissioners all the way down to the mayor of a particular area or whatever.
Do the residents of the area have to weigh in on the establishment of a marked area?
If they choose to, they can. There's just a small number of people throughout Seminole County that are interested in the history of this area compared to the whole total population. If you want to do percentage, maybe 10%, maybe 20%, I'm not sure. But yes, and those people would weigh in if they wanted to, or they send out invitations, it's in the newspaper, would you like to come and, you know, participate in this historical marker dedication? Or sometimes we have large crowds, sometimes we have very small crowds. You know, we've put markers up throughout, we've put them along the old railroad beds of Seminole County are your trails today. So there are a lot of markers along the trails telling about a settlement that used to be there that's no longer there.
Let me give you some names that have popped up in the research that you and others have directed me towards that were associated in some manner with Taintsville and the marker or the signage and the designation of it being a village, and ask you to give me some sort of sense of what you know of them either today or in the past. Seminole County Board of County Commission members Sid Villain and Commissioner Yarborough.
Mr. Villain, his roots come from Sweden. He settled in the Sanford area over by Uppsala. Great gentleman, had the honor of meeting him, and I know one of his granddaughters very well. She does our St. Lucia Festival at the museum. Ed Yarborough, their family has been in Geneva for many, many years. They're part of the Kilby family, and both of these gentlemen have since passed on.
My impression was, since they were the ones that were included by reference in the Board of County Commissioners motion, they were supportive of the creation of the village, or were they having to be convinced?
Oh, I'm sure they were supportive. I mean, both of those people were for the preservation of the history of this whole county. Of course, they all have deep roots. Both families have deep roots in Seminole County.
Do you have any sense there was opposition to that naming of the area as a village of Taintsville?
As far as I know, there was no opposition at all. It was just cut and dry, and it was done. And probably a lot of people did not know that it was really actually brought before the county commissioners, including myself.
I was about to ask, were you there?
No, I was not there, and I had no idea, because this question was asked to me about, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And I said just what I've been telling you today, started off as a little joke. And I got a phone call saying, this is not a joke. And we did go before the county commissioners. And I was, oh my gosh, well, then I had to go and look it up myself. There's my history again. I have to go in there and make sure that it's not just something handed down from generation that you embellish on like a legend. But no, it actually was. And I was really surprised. So I had to do some backpedaling and some apologizing to some people.
The clerk of the Board of County Commissioners, Arthur H. Beckwith, Jr.
Mm-hmm. I don't know very much about him. I know that he was very active in the community and served for a long time with Seminole County, but I can't tell you a whole lot about the gentleman.
Ted Peterson, who records show was the representative of the petitioners who brought the request to the county.
Yes. Now, Mr. Peterson was quite colorful, and I do believe that he was in real estate and did some construction, had a construction business at one time. And he was, we call him a newbie back then. He was new to the community, even though he may have lived here 20 years. When we talk about being new, well, you weren't here from the 1800s. But yes, he was the newer Chuliota at that particular time, or newer Taintsville.
Was the thrust more from Chuliotans or more from Ovidians to get the village?
Chuliotans, yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's if you go back to the division between Oviedo and Chuliota, you are separated by the Econlocahatchee. Okay, and what tickles us, and this has been stories that have been handed down, is Oviedo never, ever would run moonshine. But the people in Chuliota ran the moonshine. But the people in Oviedo would cross the Econ to buy it. So we always laugh, you know. And the same thing, like, if you get into the agriculture part of Chiliota, Oviedo, Slavia. Chiliota was more your cattle and more of orange groves in the later, but more was the cattle end of it. Then as you got into Oviedo, Nelson and Company, that was all the fruit end of it. And if you went over to Slavia, that was more the vegetable end of it. So there was definite lines of agriculture division from the very beginning of all of these. They were all based on agriculture businesses.
And so, so why then would that mean that Chiliotans had more of a passion to make Taintsville a village than any others?
Because it was more rural, I guess they considered Oviedo more like a little city, a mini city, and this was all rural out there. And I really don't have a definite answer. I'm just surmising and just guessing.
Did I misinterpret you to suggest or imply that there maybe was a division between Chiliotans and Ovidians, and that division was marked by the area of Taintsville?
No, not really.
I'm overreaching on that.
You are overreaching, okay. Yeah.
There's no drama there that you're not
there's
telling
us. There's no drama about. There. If there was, I'd tell you, but no.
No bones are buried in
no
Taintsville.
No bones are buried, no. Not there, anyway.
Well, where are bones buried?
Oh, no. Well, you know, some things remain anonymous.
That was not the subject of this interview.
That's right.
Leslie Gross has popped up as a name in the research associated with the village of Taintsville. What do we know of her?
I'm not real familiar with her. You know, when I saw that name on there, I really don't know that much about her. I know that she lived in that area, and she had named her house, like, you know, how up north they name houses, or in different countries they'll name a house. But she had named hers, and I can't think of the name of it, but she had a lot of workers coming out and doing work, and so, and that's when she first heard Taintsville, you know.
Mr. Best.
Oh, Mr. Best. I believe this is Alfred Best. There's a lot of Bests that were living in the Taintsville area, but I'm pretty sure it was Alfred. And Alfred was just an old country boy, and just struck up a relationship and a friendship with Mr. Peterson, and they just had some good old times together. And those homes, I believe, are still there. The Best home places, I think, is still there.
Do you know where that would be?
That would be just past the school going out from Oviedo to Chiliota.
The school being defined either as Lawton Childs Middle or Marguerite Parton Elementary?
Yeah, Marguerite Parton Elementary. Okay. And that would be on the right-hand side. And then just past that on the left-hand side, would be those little group of little houses. I think they're still there. I'm pretty sure they are.
And you think one of those is the original house in which Mr. Best lived?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know it is.
Do you know the current owners by any chance?
No. Okay. I mean, I think it's still in the family.
Okay. Is it correct for the uninitiated like me to assume that the names of Sid Valline, Commissioner Yarborough, Arthur Beckwith, Ted Peterson, Leslie Gross, Mr. Best, are those generally associated with getting the village of Taintsville to be recognized as we do so today?
I would say that's a correct assumption. Of course, Yarborough, Beckwith, and Valline from the government part, and then the rest are from the actual residents that lived there that brought their petition.
The dirt in their own shoes.
Yeah, right? They're dirt in their own shoes.
Are there other sources of information on Taintsville besides you and those several, whether they're alive or not?
I think you could go out and Google it out on the Internet, but you're going to come out basically with the same that we've talked about this morning. There's not a whole lot. You know, you have the petition from the county. That's a piece of paper that says, okay, it was designated. But it's actually a picture of Taintsville. There's not really a concrete building that said, okay, this was the store in Taintsville or anything, so you don't have anything concrete. It's just the area. You might be able to look on some old maps where you would certainly see the townships and the range numbers, because you still have to remember that was rural at the time when they were doing that. There was nothing there.
Today, to my knowledge, there is only one state road department or county road department sign up on the road that says Taintsville. Mm-hmm. I've been told in the past there were two signs.
Yes.
Do you know what happened to the other one, and was there any legend associated with collecting the signs?
I don't know about collecting the signs, but I know that Miss Gross, she got permission from DOT to put up just little signs, one going and one coming, depending on which way you were going. And then pretty soon they started to disappear. So she'd call them up and they'd come out and put out another one. And that went on for some time. Now, who was taking them down or who was running into them, or maybe it was young people stealing them, you know, I have no idea. But then finally when they did the designation in 71 and they actually became an official sign, I don't think there was, you know, I think those have remained, as far as I know, just the one. So, but there were two, one going and one coming, I remember.
That second one didn't by any chance hung over your fireplace.
Oh, absolutely not, no.
You're on the record now.
No,
you know?
I know that, no.
Let me ask you two exit questions. Mm-hmm. Given your both vocation and avocational passion for history and the history of Seminole County and the area of Southeast Seminole County, particularly that we're talking about today, what do you think may become of Taintsville's standing? Will it stay the same? Do you think it'll get upgraded? Do you think it'll be ultimately consumed and abolished?
I would hate to think it'd be abolished totally.
What do you think?
But I think that if they are going to be absorbed into some other identity, that there's some designation that's made that this used to be a little viable community and it just needs to be recognized. And so hopefully that the city leaders, the county leaders, will take that into consideration. You know, planning within a government is planned not just 1 year out, 20 years out. So there's probably a lot of things on the drawing board that the average citizen here doesn't know or may not even be considered. So if they are going to consider to absorb it into another identity, I sure hope that they do save that designation in some form or another.
The other exit question is, given the subject we've been talking about, is there any other question that you thought I would ask that I never got around to? And if so, what's the question and what's the answer, more importantly?
No, I was just wondering how we were going to talk for 45 minutes on Taintsville, because it's just a little blurb, you know.
Well, we didn't need it.
I know. But, no, there. I think you've covered it all, and I appreciate your time.
No bodies that you want to describe that are currently buried out there that no one is aware of?
No.
We're not going to have an exclusive in this interview.
No, not in this interview.
Karen Jacobs, both a passionate vocationalist and a professional in the subject area of history and the village of Taintsville, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. I enjoyed being here.